Good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting us here to celebrate with you. I'll start with a story, one some of you might have heard. Almost 30 years ago, a young man named Matthias left his home in northern Haiti in response to political upheaval. Before he was allowed entry into the U.S., he was tested for tuberculosis, and it came back positive. It was a false positive, though no one knew that at the time, and Matthias was given a prophylactic and sent on his way. Matthias worked in Florida and saved money, but it was stolen before he had a chance to send it home to his mother as planned. He made his way to upstate New York with a friend, but he was unable to find work. These would soon be the least of his troubles. Unbeknownst to Matthias, the TB prophylactic can cause severe liver damage. Soon he found himself in a hospital in need of a liver transplant, 1,600 miles from home, surrounded by strangers, none of whom spoke his language. Someone at the hospital reached out to Rosemarie Carici, Hope's founder, and asked if she would serve as translator. When she arrived, they said, "We want you to explain to him that he's going to die." Those of you who know Rosemarie will not be surprised to hear that she responded, with no reservations and zero hesitation, "Absolutely not." Instead, she looked at Matthias laying there, surrounded by sounds he'd never heard and machines he'd never seen, his fear almost palpable. She sat next to him and asked him about his home. He told her of the sunrises over the sea, the birds singing in palm trees, and the warm breeze. Matthias was young and strong, an otherwise healthy 18-year-old. A liver transplant could have saved his life, but as those in charge argued over whether he was eligible, his kidneys failed too. Eventually, Rosemarie told him what he needed to know once he trusted her and felt safe. I imagine Rosemarie thought about how she was 18 when she left her home of Haiti, also in response to political turmoil. She sat with him and held his hand on the day that he died. What does a person do with that? How do you carry that with you? Rage is one option, rage against the machine, point to the negligence of those who treated him, the indifference and greed of institutions, the unfairness, injustice, and cruelty of the world. Recognize that this is how the world is, despair at the hopelessness of it. This is something akin to the current narrative about Haiti right now. It is hopeless. Why should we waste our time, energy, and resources on problems that just keep coming, do not go away, that only seem to get worse? It is doing more damage than good, people say. And the money isn't even getting to the people who need it. The smart thing to do is to call it a loss and walk away. But I digress. Rage, injustice, despair, helplessness, hopelessness, all of these reasonable responses, and I would not doubt if Rosemarie felt all of them in turn, and understandably so. But that isn't all she did. She did not stop there. Soon after, a group of people from her church were going down to Haiti, and Rosemarie joined. One thing led to another, and soon Rosemarie found herself among a group of people setting up a health clinic in a small town on the coast of northern Haiti, not so far from where Matthias was raised. Soon Rosemarie found herself leading a group setting up a partnership with the Haitian Ministry of Health to reopen a hospital in town, a hospital that had been quasi-abandoned, had no running water, electricity, had rusted equipment, leaky ceilings and moldy walls, and was filled with bat droppings. A nurse worked there part-time, and a new doctor intern lived there, one who did her best to help, yet cried every day because she couldn't. Rosemarie met Jen and Mike Shields, a father and daughter, who had helped make the partnership happen. Jen visited the hospital and saw a woman carried in giving birth, a woman who did not make it out. Jen thought of her own daughter, then just a toddler, and tried to imagine if she had to be brought into the world in those conditions. "We have to do something," she said. Her father agreed. A health assessment was done, and soon the Bourne Health Alliance, ASB, was born. Dr. Tony Voltaire, born and raised in Bourne, was hired as medical director. Soon after that, Mike Shields and a group from Spiritus Christi went down to Bourne to help get clean running water at the hospital. This is a story you also might have heard. Among them were Bill Welch, Polly Sanderson, John Paquette, a carpenter, plumber, and electrician. Others, including Sarah Brownell from Spiritus and locals in Bourne, had laid the groundwork, bringing pipe, building a cistern, and capping a spring. But on this trip, something was not working right. Something was blocking the flow. The water would not run. They sat at dinner the night before they were scheduled to leave at 7 a.m. to fly back home. "But we can't leave," someone said. "We have to stay until it's done." But there were jobs, families. "Here are the options. We go back tonight and get the water running, or we cancel our flights." To go back, they would have to go up to the hills in the dark. The locals told them, "You don't go up to the hills in the dark." They took their headlamps and they went at 9 or 10 at night. There was something blocking the flow of water. Bill Welch climbed in the tank and tried to get it out, but he kept floating back up. So the others held him upside down by his feet until he could unplug it. All of a sudden, as legend has it, as the clock struck midnight, the water began to flow. The hospital had clean water. Other teams from Spiritus went down to set up power and bring supplies. Meanwhile, Dr. Tony and Rosemary worked together to develop Santé Non Lacou, a novel model of community health that focuses on prevention, education, and a holistic view of health, and brings health care to where people live in the most remote areas. All of this came well before me and many of us at Hope. But let me tell you some of what came after. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Bourne, this is a beautiful place with beautiful people, mountains, oceans, rivers. It is also a remote rural area where most people make less than $2 a day, where there are no public utilities or sanitation, where the adult literacy rate was about 34%, where waterborne and other preventable illness runs rampant, where the hospital is a 5 to 9 hour hike for many people, where getting sick meant that you were probably going to die, and a breach delivery pretty much guaranteed it. When Hope began, Bourne had some of the lowest immunization rates in Haiti, about 3%, and now has some of the highest. HIV/AIDS rates are one-third of what they were in 2008, with very few new cases. Hope's response to the 2011 cholera outbreak resulted in mortality rates one-third of those seen in other rural areas of Haiti. About one-quarter of children in Bourne were malnourished. Now we have a program that treats the children while educating the parents on nutrition. Bourne has seen few cases of COVID, zero deaths, and COVID vaccination rates are some of the highest in Haiti. Maternal and infant mortalities have decreased from about 20 to 30 per year to 5 or less. Another way of saying this is that there are mothers, babies, and children, even young, strong men, alive and well today and born, who would not be here otherwise, to see the sunrises over the sea, hear the birds and the palm trees, and feel the morning breeze. There are people living and breathing and walking on mountains and swimming in the sea, working in gardens and holding their children, going to market and going to school, and this is something that you have made possible. Something else you've made possible. Hope was a finalist in Investor Tank, a kind of shark tank for nonprofits. The competition involved a public vote. The prize was $150,000 in funding from USAID. We just found out this week that Hope won for the health category. Thank you. And we won by about 220 votes. We know how much this community has rallied to vote for Hope, and it is very possible that those 220 votes came from right here. Hope will be able to hire a community nurse, hold mobile clinics and mobile screenings, support and expand prevention outreach and education, and run mothers' clubs. And we'll be able to share our model with others working in similar areas. So thanks to you, thousands of people will receive health care and countless illnesses will be prevented, not to mention preventable deaths. But true community health is not simply the absence of death and disease. As Dr. Tony reminds us, healthy fruits come from healthy roots. Hope has run literacy programs. Rosemary loved to tell the story of one woman who exclaimed that instead of writing an X when she voted, she could write her name. We have a library and community centers. We have one of the best dental clinics on the island. The Anna Matrice Women's Leadership Program has transformed the role for women in the community, typically confined to the home, child rearing, and the market. Women now lead community meetings and educational initiatives. And one Anna Matrice shared that she was elected president of her co-ed coffee cooperative due to her leadership training. Hope is running a group savings and lending program and working with the community to identify opportunities for sustainable livelihoods. We just learned we've been awarded a grant to provide education, literacy, training, and support for hundreds of orphaned and vulnerable children in Bourne. The Pepinier program plants trees, keeping the water clear, the soil grounded, and protecting the sea life for fishermen. We've run nutrition and gardening programs and pilot programs ranging from aquaculture to raising chickens. One woman from Bourne shared with us that after she learned about nutrition through Hope's educational program, her children had fewer worms and fewer colds, and she was taking better care of herself, so she had fewer medical costs. Her husband added that they had saved money because they were growing their own food, outcomes of nutrition and gardening education, and eating healthier food instead. The money they saved, he said, would go to their children's education. This is Hope's long-term vision and approach. As we work to improve health, education, and economic viability, we work toward the sustainable development of the whole community. Healthy, educated, and engaged people equals productive, contributing community members equals a dynamic, self-sustaining community. And we work with the community. Hope's work is led, envisioned, and carried out and by the community. We know it is Dr. Tony and the staff and volunteers in Bourne who do the real work, but whenever we thank him for all he's doing, he reminds us that we are a team and we're doing this together. A long-term vision needs long-term support and a community to sustain it. We are so grateful for all the many ways that you have helped us and continue to do so. From doing construction work, to turning on the water and power, to designing logos and materials and displays, to attending meetings and bringing ideas and insights, to reaching out to networks to get out the vote, to organizing events, to playing beautiful music in a benefit concert, to tech support, to making baked goods and gathering supplies for today's coffee hour. It is such an immense pleasure and honor to work with you all, and we are so incredibly grateful. There are losses in the world, real, terrible, painful losses, suffering, injustice, and indifference. And we can look to them with despair or hopelessness, or we can choose to do something about it. Rosemarie seemed to know that when we spend all our time focusing on what is wrong in the world, we have no time or energy left to do what we can to make it right. Speaking of losses, when we lost Rosemarie, we did not know what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. None of us could fill her shoes. Frankly, all of us cannot fill her shoes. We have made mistakes, and we're going to make more mistakes, but we are going to do our best together. Near the end, Rosemarie said this to Dr. Tony, "For the good of the community, I will work for Hope, even after I'm gone. Forgive me here, but I am a believer in signs, and I believe that Rosemarie is keeping to her word." Rosemarie kept detailed journals of her journey with Hope. Mike Shields shared them with me as I was working on this never-ending talk. This is the first notebook I pulled out and opened. It's 1998, and these pieces of paper came out. Notes Rosemarie recorded of a meeting in Bourne. Here is some of what it says. "Much has been lost, but not completely. The seed is there and will grow again. Keep doing good, what is right, regardless, even though you are scared. When groups are trained well, even if they lose their leader, the group keeps going, the work continues. Each has a role to play, a gift to share." This quote recently found its way into my inbox. "Hope is like a road in the country. There was never a road, but when many people walk on it, the road comes into existence." Or as Margaret Mead said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." One more thing that was in the notebook. This is a story of Father Jim Callan during the beginnings of Spiritus Christi. And here's an ad on the back. "Thanks for our best year ever." And here it says Mount Hope. This has certainly not been our best year, but it has been an incredible one. On behalf of our friends in Bourne and the rest of us at Hope, thank you all for all you've shared with us and your continued support. We have a long road ahead of us. None of us can deny the situation in much of Haiti, and frankly, the world seems bleak and sometimes even hopeless. But thanks to you, your time, talents, and yes, your treasures, we have hope, and for this we are so grateful. Thank you.